Auckland Grey Power is pleased to sponsor this edition of Senior Focus.
Welcome everyone, I'm Anne-Marie Curry, I'm your presenter today for Senior Focus. And I thought today's session we would focus on the aftermath of the council elections lately, but in particular the rather furious comments and clamouring about tree cover in Auckland, because I think this is actually a very important issue that has arisen post-election but was there, I think, bubbling away under the surface during the election. And it's been something that's been in the offing since the government withdrew a lot of the protection for the tree cover through changing the Act of Parliament subsequent to the development of the super city itself in 2010. And I know staff at council have recommended that we don't have enough protection currently and that more needs to be done to advocate to current government, plus maybe looking at other resource consent issues around tree cover as well. It's strengthening the provisions to make sure that the mature trees that we got are not being cut down. And that's really significant simply because we have lost so many in the last 3 to 5 years in particular. Any over 20 metres really affect grossly the whole ecosystem on the land and bird life, insect life, and the canopy that provides cover for the new growth of new trees and for new planting is distinctly at risk because of that loss. So that's what I'm going to talk about, but I'm also going to talk about the need for finding ways of strengthening dialogue intergenerationally, because that's something that is going to strengthen society, and it's something that hasn't been happening enough of, but it's part of the conversation about being heard and getting voices heard. And we do talk about the youth voice and we do talk about the community voice and so on. I don't think we talk about the senior voice enough in a way that allows people to feel heard. And there needs to be a separating out, because we've got 3 or 4 generations of seniors. So it's not one voice for the senior community, it's multiple voices. And we need to be clear that there are different needs and different issues arising for people across the lifespan from 50 plus right through to 100. And with this new focus on super ageing and ageing well, it's very important that we strengthen well-being through ensuring that voices are heard. So those are the areas that I want to talk about with you today. And I'm not bringing a guest in today, but I would like to take up some of these topics again in the future. And if anybody wants to write in, please write to me, Anne Marie, Marie, dot Curry, Coury, at gmail.com. So annemarie.coury@gmail.com. And so I'd welcome any comments and any reactions to this program indeed, because it's really important to have dialogue and to have more of you communicating with us, so we know how you're responding to the program, what it is that you feel about the program that you'd like to have more of, and indeed just anything that we're doing or not doing that you'd like to tell us about. So going back to the post-election clamouring and the uproar about the tree cover, the significant thing to me is I've read a lot of stuff online about this and a lot of the different reactions that have come through, and the protest against the tree felling that the Maunga Authority are involved in or planning to do and had begun or were about to begin this week. With all of this, it hasn't come out of the blue. There has been consultation, there have been processes and opportunities for people to be heard. But with in the case of the Maunga themselves, that sort of tree felling, where it's a decision of the Maunga authority that incidentally have not only Māori but also some elected representatives from local boards and councillors on that authority, there is scope for a very considered decision-making around the evidence, how many trees are in need of removal because they're dangerous, how many trees have a limited lifespan, how many trees are not going to provide suitable environment or cover for a good ecosystem development that's planned, and so on and so forth. There's a lot of issues. It's not a matter of there's a forest up there and it's all going to be chopped tomorrow. No, it's not really that simple. I do get that people feel angry about trees being chopped, and I do get that not everyone reads the paper or has access to all types of information about what's going on, but I also think that there has been a lot of information available through what the local boards put out, through what's on the council website and so on and so forth, but not everybody is receiving this digital information, and perhaps people haven't been in the habit of getting involved in the processes. Perhaps people have thought the council's move slowly and nothing much will happen, and then suddenly when it is happening they just get into a bit of a panic because they feel if they don't scream loudly now the tree will be gone and that'll be the end. There won't be any opportunity to do anything, and there has been a lot of tree felling that's caused a lot of consternation in the last 5 years, but most of the loss of mature tree canopy has been on private land. It actually hasn't been in the public domain. And that sets up another whole lot of issues, as I pointed out earlier. That's part of the government changing the tree protection laws and loosening them so developers can remove many, many trees on a site in order to get multi-housing built. And, of course, there are lots of arguments in favour of multi-housing, and we've got a housing shortage. We've got a housing crisis, in fact, and it's difficult to see how that can be, those two things can be kind of wrestled with when they're two value systems, the human need for housing and the ecological need for tree cover to be preserved. Those two are in conflict sometimes. So today, in looking at this topic, I'm thinking that some people may have been caught by surprise at the process, some people may have not been aware of the process, and some people may have thought that this is a more extensive culling of trees than what is in fact planned. In other words, they have been fed false information. There seems to be some manoeuvring on the part of certain individuals and even groups where they have some political agenda as well as just shouting from the hilltops about the trees. There is more to it. So I don't wish to cast aspersions on anybody, but I think it's very important to look at the facts, because there was a very emotive campaign during the council election about chainsaws going to be chopping a myriad of trees in Chamberlain Park. And there was even talk of thousands of trees being demolished, and that was blatantly excessive, emotively put information which was totally inaccurate. And I don't think that is helpful to of the community to have that kind of tack taken, particularly when it's in the service of a particular group with a narrow focus and doesn't necessarily serve the wider community. And I think that is probably one of the challenges that we have at the current time. The mantra of getting heard or having your voice heard is one thing, but it's another thing as to what is the measuring stick used to determine how valid a view is and how much of a view needs to take account of the evidence in order to be considered valid to be at the table. And I think those things are really quite honestly important. It's not helpful to anybody to be having people inflaming the arguments with a lot of false information and trying to outmaneuver others who may have equally valid, well, more valid points because they're based on evidence, but they just get drowned by this cacophony of lies and misinformation. Now, in reviewing what is going on with trees in Auckland, I actually was party to a report that was done by staff. I was able to see that report, and it's now in the public domain. And it does talk about the impact of the loss of tree cover. It also talks about the proportions of trees on private land to public land within each board area, and also talks about which boards have the greatest need to replace this tree cover, what are the likely objectives or plans for planting, and where that should happen. And so it's a very comprehensive and well thought out plan, and was very well presented by the staff. And I was most taken with it because I thought, now this is the sort of information that really would be helpful to people to understand and to come to the table with, so that they had that understanding rather than getting involved in the very emotive stuff, which isn't actually leading to successful outcomes, in my opinion. This report, I'm going to do a link to it on the website, so anybody who wants to find it will be able to. I think that's easier than my actually spelling out an address right now. And it also means I can look into how we might perhaps make a program around that and bring in one of the staff to talk about it. Because I think it really is going to be important for the wider long-term view of what's happening with tree cover in Auckland, that we actually have more information and that we have it in a rational and quietly focused way so that it can be fully taken on board and not seen as driven by somebody's politics. When you get a chance to look at things like tree cover and bylaws about different things under the Resource Management Act, it's a really good opportunity, if you have an opportunity, to comment to your local board or give feedback to council. It's really a good opportunity to get involved yourself. And anybody who is online, I recommend you join the People's Panel, because from time to time the People's Panel actually puts out surveys online to a number of members of that panel, and it might be the whole panel or it might only be a subset of the panel, but it allows council to test opinion, and it's a very valuable tool because they can write their own questions and target what they want to find out, and it gives them information that supplements what they're getting from other sources. It may be a bit more balanced than some of the extreme protest comments that come through the media, but at the same time it allows people to ask questions or ask for more information, or it gives people an outlet to explore things. It's not just a one-sided process. So I think that anybody who wants to do that can just Google the People's Panel Auckland Council, and they will be able to join online very easily. So I'd recommend that to make sure that you're up to date with all sorts of consultations that are in the pipeline, because usually if there is an important community consultation going on, if it's bigger than your local board, if it's covering more than one local board, it's very likely that the People's Panel will have a survey on it, and that way you've got a chance at least of being part of the group that participates. Now, in terms of planting, there have been all sorts of statements made in the last week about how many trees are planned to be planted by the Maunga Authority, how many trees have been planted under the Mayor's Million Dollar Trees Program, how many trees are likely to be planted in particular locations this year, what is the plan for Chamberlain Park, and so on and so on. So there's all sorts of questions been arising, and suddenly I think perhaps because people have voted, they feel more empowered and they feel more motivated to ask questions and demand things and get more involved locally with their locally elected representatives. And I think that's good, because we don't want to have people just asleep and waking up after the trees are gone, where it's critical. And I think there've been some pahutaka were saved in the Waitemata local board area, and Auckland Transport has been taken to task quite strongly by residents, and indeed by the local board in some cases. And those impacts have been, I think, partly behind some of the new protests that are happening in other board areas, because people have seen, oh well, we can do something, we can actually stop this. And so I'm not anti the protests in entirety or the concept of protesting about trees. I think there's some people trying to stop the felling of a kauri out west that was halted some time back and now seems to be back on the drawing board again for removal. And that seems to be quite sad, but I'm not quite sure about the facts on that one, so I'm not going to talk about it specifically. But again, it's a situation that is very local to a community and that has a local board, and there are views held in that area quite strongly. There is some information about the health of that tree that's in question that I think is behind the current move. So it's not just a developer who wants to get rid of a tree. It's a little bit more complicated. However, when we look at the actual tree cover situation in Auckland, it is quite dire that we don't have enough trees, mature trees above 20 years of age, and certainly those above 30 years of age have become more rare and therefore very valuable to us. And I think that's one of the things that's driving some of the people who are protesting, because they are people who've seen the value of mature trees and seen the enormous loss to Auckland of mature trees in the last 5 years, and so are very, very, shall we say, overly protective of almost anything that could be constituted a tree that's above the age of 20, without actually realising, well, hang on a minute, some trees do have to be removed because of age, wind damage, and lack of safety, because we don't want people killed by falling trees. I mean, that then there would be hue and cry, why didn't the council do something? So I think there is an issue here to assess trees adequately and to have faith in the assessment that's done, and not see the assessment as somehow a cloak and dagger operation that's in the service of someone's political or other interests. So overall, It's getting the right information, it's being able to trust the information, and it's being able to have ready access to it, and not just digitally. And it's also being able to be heard. And so this being heard business is what I want to talk about. Often when people raise their voices and shout and protest and so on, they think that they're going to be heard more and that this is going to make things different. But being heard is often having effective dialogue in place. It's actually having opportunities to get your opinions out there in an unfettered way, in a way that allows people to examine them and ask questions and come back and forth. So there can be misunderstandings on both sides of the fence. And having that free flow exchange of ideas actually leads to better outcomes. It leads to solutions where everyone's involved. And usually things are not as black and white as they appear in a protest. So it's very important to get this dialogue happening on the ground and at the council table, at the local board table. And it should really incorporate children in our neighbourhoods. Because future trees are going to benefit them, providing shade, providing opportunities for them to be outdoors without sunscreen, providing opportunities for them to study nature because of all the other ecological growth and development that occurs when you've got large mature trees around. And it's part of their environment, their air quality and their well-being. And so that may be another reason why people can get quite overly fixated on saving trees without looking at the full range of information. But I would hope that in the situation where people are really concerned about trees for their well-being of their future children, grandchildren, etc., that they would be able to see that this needs to be a balanced conversation and that there's got to be some opportunities for a range of voices and a range of opinions to come in. And then at some stage the evidence has to be looked at and assessed, and is it valid, and how, and has it taken account of the different needs of the community, and how was all this decided, and where did people do their consultation and how, and so on. So there needs to be kind of a reassessment of the whole situation before coming to some final solution, because it is very final cutting a tree. Well, just once it's cut, and you can't really uncut it. So you want to make sure that you don't do something in haste. But I also am aware that sometimes these things happen in a seasonal context where you don't want to leave it till the middle of summer when it's going to be too drastic for the tree. So there is a sort of time span where you're thinking, yeah, we need to get this done now. So that can create an urgency. But there's also different opportunities that arise, like, for example, autumn may be a reasonable time, as long as it's not too close to winter. So there may be a way of taking a breather and letting things cool down and getting people together to dialogue more, and that this, out of this dialogue may come a more considered approach and greater opportunities for groups to become involved in planting and joining activities that will allow more effective connection with the environment. I think it's very valuable when young people get involved with older people. They don't talk often, But when they find a common goal and a common opportunity where they can work together, then it can be a very valuable experience, the sharing and the camaraderie and just the unexpectedness that you can have a positive relationship with someone who's of a different generation and actually enjoy being with them when you don't expect that. I think that is a real bonus, and it's something that is part of strengthening the ties that bind us, that make us feel united as one, as a society. Something that we haven't had a lot of lately. We've had a sense of growing divisions. So actually working together on the environment, on climate change, can be a productive and positive process. And I think that is something I'd like to explore more of in the coming year on our program. Maybe have some dialogue actually on the program between young people and older people. I think this could be really quite exciting. So that's one of the developments I have in mind. Now, I've also been thinking a lot about peace, and peace is not just the absence of conflict, nor is it a suppression of conflict. So when I think about the environment and I think about how people are passionate about the environment, I think about how people are also passionate about housing, the conflict between trees and their removal and housing and getting enough houses built and so on, it's an ongoing issue. And so it's an issue that isn't going to go away, and it's an issue that's going to flare up from time to time in particular locations on particular sites. So it would be really interesting if we could develop a structured problem-solving dialogue situation that we could apply in this context, so like a structured process that groups of people could enter into, and that council could act as the facilitator. Maybe not themselves, not the council staff themselves, but employ contractors who are skilled at this, who could actually come in and do this kind of conflict diffusion, conflict resolution, and actually help people come to a greater understanding of how they can all contribute something positive in this situation. This would be a real step forward, and it has been trialled in a number of environments overseas for a number of different issues. But I think in particular, the environment's becoming more and more at risk. It's more fragile, and there are more issues. And just this week in the news, we've seen the tremendous pressures on people in Australia and Sydney and Queensland over the bushfires. And already, although there have only so far been 3 deaths reported, already whole communities are talking about how we're going to look after one another, how we're going to deal with the aftermath, because they remember back to the sort of supports that were needed in Victoria after the Victorian bushfires. And this apparently, from all accounts, is 50 times worse in terms of the amount of hectares burnt and the loss of property and the loss of livelihoods. It's quite severe, and so it's going to put people into dire straits. And this won't be easy. So this is a different kind of conflict resolution and disaster recovery type environment. This is a bit different from dealing with conflict over tree removal, but it's just another one of these processes that I know in Australia they do fund. They have 2 levels of funding. They have state funding, well, 3 levels. They have council funding, state funding, and federal funding. So we need to think very carefully about putting structures in place. So that, I would like to leave you with that thought and say have a good week, and we'll be back next week looking ahead again. Thank you.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus, and do note Senior Focus is one word.